this guy's going to work. We're going to see it. The signs in the sky is something I want us to concentrate on a little bit this morning. It's a two-part series. And over the last several years, Christians have become obsessed with the signs in the skies. Of course, it's because of all the books that have been written. We ourselves, myself, looked into it, mentioned some of the stuff about these events. It was the blood moons, and once the blood moons started appearing, oh my gosh, Jesus is coming. And of course, once the eclipses started to happen, oh, Jesus is coming sooner. And then once all the planets were lining up, we convinced the rapture is taking place tomorrow. So we've had all these things pump the folks up, and particularly us Christians. And we use certain scriptures in Daniel, Ezekiel, Zechariah, Matthew, Luke, Revelation, pertaining to those signs. And we think, well, Jesus is coming soon. Well, he is coming, but not on our time slot. He's got his own timetable. True, these eclipses and the blood moons were spectacular. We enjoyed them. We were fascinated by that experience. Well, guess what? They've come and they've gone, and we're still here. They've come and they've gone, and life still goes on. Does it mean we must disregard that? No, but we've got to put it in its perspective. And that's what I attempt to do this morning, just put it in its perspective. That being said, as a believer, please understand that we are not looking at the signs. The signs do not predict future events. The signs play a part, but does not predict the future events. The future events is already laid out by God. That's all. The future events are laid out by God already, not the signs. And I don't want us to look at the signs in the sky because they do not predict anything. Actually, they are just precursors, things that show us more about the event that takes place or is going to take place. In Genesis 1:14, we see that God stated this, he mentioned this, that God said, let there be lights in the sky to separate the day from the night. They will be what? What's going to be signs? The lights in the sky. They're going to be signs. They will be signs, and they're going to do what? Will mark religious festivals pertaining to the Jews. They operate by the lunar calendar. We are the solar calendar. And many people say the Gentiles, the signs in the solar calendar or the signs in the sky, the solar is for the Gentiles. The lunar, the moon is for the Israelites. So this, they will, signs will mark religious festivals, days and years, to which the Jews still adhere this very moment. I think it's now the week of Sukkoth, so they are celebrating that. Remember the wise men? Going back to this, these are navigational purposes. The signs in the sky are navigational purposes. To navigate, to inform, but at the same time, remember the wise men from the east. What happened to the wise men? What did they do? They followed a what? Why did they follow a star? It was navigational purpose. Where did the star take them to? To Bethlehem. To the birth of Jesus Christ. So that star was there for navigational purposes. And God does not want us to pay more attention to the signs in the sky, but to look forward to the events stated in the Word of God. And that's where many believers struggle. They don't know the events. And the events, unfortunately, will unfold, some in our lifetime and some not in our lifetime. But it doesn't change the event. So signs in the sky are important. God wants you to know that which He has pre-planned, irrespective of the fact that you don't get there in your lifetime, and even if you don't get there, let's say now, the rapture, doesn't mean there is no rapture. For instance, the Egyptians, they ruled and controlled over the Israelites for over 400 years. But the Israelites knew they were going to be set free from captivity. But many of them died in captivity. But it doesn't mean the generation won't be set free. They eventually were set free from captivity. Notice Jeremiah 10 verse 2. This is what the Lord says. Do not act like the other nations. Speaking to Israel, applicable to you and me this morning. Do not act like the other nations who try to read their future in the stars. Do not be afraid of their predictions. And this is where, at times, Christians got caught up with the blood moons, the eclipses, etc., etc. Those things don't affect me. Those things don't interfere with my life. In my walk with Christ, they can be taken out of context, and I'm not looking for the next blood moon. I'm not looking for the next eclipse. I'm looking for the return of Jesus Christ, and that's all I'm looking for. So the blood moons can come and they can go. Do not be afraid of their predictions, even though other nations are what? Didn't that happen with the blood moons? Didn't that happen with the lining of the planets? Didn't that happen with the eclipses? Nations became terrified. Look at Matthew 12, 38, 40. One day, some teachers of religious law and Pharisees came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, we want you." I find this amazing. A teacher of the law comes to the creator of the universe. And he tells the creator of the universe, "I want you to show me a sign." Me, the creator of the universe? Who are you, man? Who are you? But they didn't accept him as the creator of the universe at that point in time. "We want you to show us a miraculous sign to prove your authority." Pause for a moment. Thank God Jesus never did that. All he would have done is say, "You done, bye-bye." And they would be dead. He had the authority. Or he could just call the angel. "Angels, take care of this individual, please." But Jesus replied, now this is important, folks. "Only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign." What you read in and read from this, only an evil, adulterous generation would demand a miraculous sign. We as Christians do not need miraculous signs. But the only sign I will give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Saying what? "For as Jonah was in the belly of the fish," or the whale, or the great fish, "for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days and three nights." That's the only sign. Jonah, me. Jonah in the belly of the fish, 3 days, three nights. I'm in the grave, 3 days, three nights. Prophetic. That was the only thing. Virtually, I would say at this point in time, the sign that they wanted was standing right in front of them. Jesus was the sign. Remember that signs in the sky are not preparing an event, but reminding us of the event itself that is at hand. Now, we get to Luke because Luke chapter 21 all the way 25 to 28, in particularly the chapter, also deals with these strange signs. Now, this particular scripture is also referred to in Matthew, also referred to in the book of Daniel, also in Ezekiel, Zechariah, Revelation. Same type of thing. And they're pointing to one event. And we take this out, and particularly the folks that have written the books are putting it into different events. All those scriptures that I've just mentioned in the various books are pointing to one solitary event that is about to take place, not in your lifetime and not in my lifetime. So do I worry about it? No, because I ain't going to be there. I will come back with Jesus to see what he does, but it's not going to be me that's involved on the planet Earth. And there will be strange signs in the sun, moon, and stars. And here on Earth, what's going to happen? Oh, but that's happening right now. Guys, this has been happening for years. Blood moons have been there before. Eclipses have been there before. Nations will be in turmoil. Notice, though, it's this kind of graph. But as the years go by, the intensity on Earth gets more, and the things concerning the earthquakes, the volcanoes, all those things are intensifying. And here on Earth, the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by what? Tsunamis. So are we looking for more tsunamis? Well, they are going to come. And strange tides. 26. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. Notice coming upon. When are these things going to come? Well, at a particular event. But this is leading up to that event. They see coming upon the earth, for the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Now, all what has said before is leading up to this event. Everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud. All that is leading up to the event of the coming of Jesus Christ. Not the rapture. And we're going to get to that briefly, and we're not going to debate much on that. But the fact is, Jesus came the first time. Jesus is coming the second time. So if he came the first time, we can't discount the second time. The Son of Man coming on a cloud with what? With power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. Look at 29, I think. Have we got 29? Nope. So we find that the things are leading to the great coming of Jesus Christ. Perplexed means confused. You saw the word perplexed. Confused, worried, because they can't understand it. And the difference between the non-follower of Christ and the follower of Jesus is when these things begin to happen and you see them happening at that particular point in time, the non-believer gets worried. Those that got faith in God has got no worries whatsoever. In Matthew 24, 21, for there will be persecution such as the world has never seen or never before seen in all its history and will never see again. Once again, have we had persecutions? Yeah. Is it going to end? No, it's going to intensify until Jesus comes. For those that are followers of Jesus Christ, buckle up. Would we have the kind of persecution here that they have in Africa? Not necessary. There they get killed regularly for their faith. Here they may take your money away or your tax-exempt status. You'll be ostracized. But notice there will be persecution. Once again, pointing to an event in the future. Matthew 24, 29, and 30. Immediately after the persecution, notice this, after the persecution of those days, the sun, yeah, we get that phrase again, pointing to an event. The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give light and the stars will seem to fall from their heavens. And the powers overshadowing the earth will be convulsed. And then at last, the signal of what? You getting the thread now? We saw the previous one. He's coming in the clouds. He's coming in great glory and honor. Then at last, the signal of my coming will appear in the heavens. And there will be deep mourning around the earth. Now some perspective on the end times. The end times is also used in a phrase called the last days. I think we may have that terminology in 2 Timothy 3 verse 1. But know this, that where the last days, perilous times will come. That's the New King James Version. The New Living Translation says, you should know this, Paul writing to Timothy. Timothy, A.D. 60 maximum, I think. You should know this, Timothy, that in, there's that word again, in the last days there will be very difficult times. Question, when did the last days start and when did the last days end? Those are things we need to ask. Now, some folks state the last days started with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Those were the last days. So we are in the last days now for almost how long? 2,000 years. AD 33, Jesus died. Others state that the last days started with the birth of the church, which means that was 50 days after his resurrection. So now we have possibly two theories. After the resurrection of the church, the last day started. Or possibly the birth of the church. Irrelevant. That's when it began. So then the question is, when does it end? When Jesus comes back again. He left, last days, comes back, finish. Ushers in a new era. So for us human beings, we've got to look long term. We've got to understand that there are events laid out in the Word of God that are unchangeable. Although we don't think much about those events, but if there's ever a time to become a follower of Jesus, it is now. We can't change it, guys. We've got to consider accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior while we are alive. Now, I will show a chart, but unfortunately, the chart itself looks good close by, but for you guys mid, you're not going to see much. You can try and look at the back. I'm going to try and help you out over here. Here's a chart, the church age. This is where we are now. Now, there's been the ascension of Jesus Christ over here on your left. The descent of the Holy Spirit. If you see that, if this guy's going to operate with me, he doesn't want to operate now, there we go. The descent of the Holy Spirit, the church age. Now notice, many prophecies had been foretold about the birth of Jesus Christ. Did that happen? Absolutely it happened. Most prophecies pertaining to that era have already been fulfilled. Now we're living in the church age. Or what's another word for the church age? Last days. We're in the last days. 2,000, almost 2,000 years. There's the tribulation period. Those are the 7 years that is predicted, prophesied in the Word of God. Are we going to change it? No. It's during the last part of that tribulation period, towards the end of the 7 years, that those blood moons and everything else pertaining to them is going to be manifested more than ever before. Why? Jesus is coming to end those last days. Now, where we get into some discussion is, believers believe on a pre-trib rapture, which means the body of Christ, the Christians, will be raptured and receive glorified bodies. Others say no, it will happen in the middle of the tribulation. Others say no, it's going to happen at the end of tribulation, because on that, you see, the second coming of Christ. Now, all those blood moons and the lining up of the planets and the sun darkening is all referring to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, in connection with the rapture, people ask me, where do you stand? Well, me personally, I'm a pre-trib guy. I believe the rapture is going to take place before the tribulation. Others say, no, 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 Pastor, you can't. You've got to be mid, or you've got to be post. My response is, he's coming, he's taking me up, and I'll be waiting for you to come. But if he doesn't take me up, we'll go together then. But in the meantime, I'm going to go up and wait for you to come. If I don't go, you and I will be able to go up together. All right? So there's your tribulation period. The first 3.5 years seems very peaceful, but you will find in the book of Revelation, there's a lot of trouble in the first 3.5 years. Because right in the center of that, right there, 3.5 years, there's an antichrist system that's going to demand people to worship the beast. And lo and behold, there's going to be persecution of the Jews that you and I have never... We think the Jews are going through a tough time now. No, 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 no. This is a cake, a piece of cake. This is a walk in the park. Their tribulation is still coming. They're going to be scattered. Some of them are going to flee into Jordan, to Petra. Many of them are going to be persecuted. And when it almost seems like the Jewish people are going to be wiped out, guess what happens? Second coming of Christ, and he puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives split in two. What does he do? He ushers in a millennium. Millennium, which is 1,000 years. What's 1,000 years? I can't even think what 1,000 years are like. But notice, guys, is it possible for the church age to see the rapture? Yes. Is it possible for the church age to see the beginnings of the tribulation? Yes. People living now, is it possible for them to see the beginning of the tribulation? Yeah. Virtually, we're just going to look at the wars, what's going on. Some of the wars now, as we notice, in particularly with Iran and also Russia, and we're seeing what's happening across the globe. It seems like nations, as prophesied by the Word of God, is forming a coalition. We saw the BRIC nations that wants to overthrow the American dollar. They're pushing more than ever before now, which is tremendous to see these things unfold, to see how they're pushing now. The banks, many of your major banks, are now definitely going to the digital currency. And we find all of that is leading up to an event where nations will get together, where there'll also be turmoil, but at the same time for this tribulation period. So it says the last days, we are living in the last days. And Paul summed up the closing days of the church age in a passage that just seems so pregnant with doom. He said they would be marked perilous times. Perilous times. Oh, our inflation. Forget about inflation. That's Guys, that's nothing compared to what's coming. Perilous times, difficult times, hard to bear, dangerous times. Now, is it possible that the perilous times can swing and we can have, well, it looks like some good years? Yeah, it can. Then all of a sudden, as I've noticed over the years, we seem to have this wave. The wave, let's look at the housing market. The housing market has a peak and then it levels out. Then it starts dropping and my gosh, it stabilizes for a while. And then what happens? The bottom falls out. Boom. And then we start going up. It's like your stock market. So if you want to look at the signs, you're going to go like this. But if you want to keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you're going to go like this. Because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So we're looking forward to Jesus Christ. So this is where we are. We cannot deny it. That's where the world is heading. That's what's going to happen. Then, if you notice, we start on the left with eternity, we end with eternity. Come on, this is way above our pay grade. Now it is. But the fact is, it is written. So you and I have got to look forward to seeing Jesus and meet him in the air and be with him. Yes, there will be tribulation saints. They're going to be raptured as well. There's a thing called the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've put my order in. The menu is unbelievable. It's steak and Coke. And man, that marriage supper is just unbelievable. You don't want to miss it for anything, and it's free. So Paul says there's going to be perilous times. And there's a list of end time events that can be summarized as follows. He saw the future world. When I say the future, the last days. Paul AD 60. Now remember, Paul never saw some of the perilous things that was prophesied in the sense of heavy persecution. He did experience persecution. But it was AD 70 that the temple was destroyed. The Romans destroyed the temple. And we saw powers rise. We saw powers come into being. And then we saw powers being destroyed. But he realizes in the word, he projects it, that a world will be controlled by people without character. And their supreme concern was lust for themselves. In other words, people in the last days will become more and more self-centered. Is that where we are now? We are seeing it already. But that's not the end. There's an event. It's all leading up to an event. There's abusiveness. There is no reverence. There is no regard. There is no restraint. Oh no, just go smash and grab. No responsibilities. No accountability. No respect for law and order. Not only are they people without character, yet comes a thing that you're going to see more. They are people, or the generation, or the age of the end times, are a people that have got no conviction of their deeds. No conviction. I deserve it, I want it, and I don't care. Anybody gets in my way, you get eliminated. I was shocked about a year or so. Heather and I were taking a drive in Connecticut someplace, and all of a sudden a gang of motorcycles came my way. The street light was green, I was going, and all of a sudden the motorcycles, two, three of them, pull in front and block off the entire street for their guys to come through. I pointed a finger at the guy. Heather says, "Don't do that." And the guy showed his fist. I said, "Bring it on." And the guy came with his bike. And I started revving my car. "You want to, which one's going to win you, my mate?" But she says, "You're outnumbered." I said, "That's true, honey. Let me shut up." Okay. So they came through. But that's happening more often than before. Go down to Springfield with the guys with the motorcycles. They control the road at times. So what do we find? We won't go into politics this morning, but in any case, it's crazy out there. People without conviction, false principles show they are ruled by wickedness. Evil people have always plagued society, but for most of the last 2,000 years, the Christian ethic has been a restraint. For some unknown reason, the Christian ethics has held at bay many of the unruliness. But guess what? Guess what? That is dissipating. That is getting less and less and less. And it seems like evil is getting stronger and stronger. Christian standards of morality and decency are being swept aside. Our courts, our colleges, communication media are showing increasing bias, not only to the Jew, but to the Christian. We're seeing this more and more in society. I don't have to wait for a blood moon. I don't have to wait for the planets to line up. I can just go, in the last days, things are going to intensify, as we find in 2 Timothy. And I also discover through the Word of God that the moral code for the Christians are getting into gray areas. So I would say we are definitely, from the resurrection of Christ or the birth of the church, living in the last days, almost 2,000 years, and I would certainly say the fruit is evident. There's the fruit. What must I do? What must you do? I'll tell you what we need to do. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. The darker the world gets, the brighter my light is. You agree with that? Pitch dark, just a little matchstick, when you can see it. So, remember way back we tried to sing that song, This Little Light of Mine? I would love to sing it, but I don't think there's enough money to pay for me this morning. But in any case, listen to my wife now. Please, honey, we could share the income here. Come on. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. People without character. Let's look at people without character. What does that mean? What does it mean? Lovers of their own selves. I don't know if we got the next one, the full one, Nicole, on 2 Timothy. Is it there or not? 2 Timothy 3:12 to 15. Those who try to live a godly life because they believe in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Now, we understand that. We recognize that's going to happen. But evil people and phony preachers will go from bad to worse. That's going to happen more and more. I'm going to pause there for a moment. In verse 2 of that chapter, it says people are going to be lovers of themselves. And he listed a dozen things to substantiate the aspect of the end times. He wrote down first that people will be lovers of themselves. Self-love, of course, is native to the human heart. It's something that shows itself in a child as soon as that child can express himself or herself. Thinking of our folks in church that have got little ones, I wonder if I ask the parents of Charlotte and Grant, have you guys ever taught your child to throw a tantrum? Think about that. Which parent has taught their child how to throw a tantrum? But you see that obstinateness. When you want to feed and they don't want that, and what are they? They jerk their head out of joint and they go crazy. And as they get a little older and they can't get their way, what do? They throw a tantrum. It's amazing, you never teach a child to throw a tantrum. It's natural. You never teach a child to disobey. It's natural. You teach them all the opposite. Don't throw a tantrum. Self-control. Love. Honesty. You got to keep on teaching your child. Even sharing. Well, the parents will still be getting there if they're not experiencing some of it already. When they get to an age and they got a gift and another little child wants to come and take the gift, God help them. You got a war on your hands. It's mine. And they hold it tight and then they throw everything out on the side. So we find parents are going to continuously teach their children those things that are opposite to the natural, which are the tantrums. A healthy society, however, imposes restraints on extreme selfishness. A healthy society teaches children to be well-mannered. Oh, good luck. Good luck. For us dinosaurs, we have seen a tremendous downward trend in manners, in respect. We have seen in our short age where parents said, I don't want to be as strict as my parents and let go of some things, only to escalate that when that child goes and becomes married, the discipline is even less. So we recognize that gradually in times of mismanagement, disrespect is increasing. A healthy society teaches their children to be well-mannered, respectful of persons and the properties of others. No, today, if you're away for a while, somebody can come in and stay in your property. If they stay there long enough, they own the property. Really? Yeah. Yeah. So it does seem to us that honesty doesn't pay off. It seems to us that just let it be. Well, my culture is a little bit different and things are going to be a little different if you try that with me and Heather. But our society today is institutionalized love for self. Children must not be punished. Let them become inhibited, lest they become inhibited. If they are failing in school, just going through and looking at some of the headlines I've seen. If they fail in school, notice more time mustn't be spent with the one failing in school. But if the children are failing in school, guess what needs to be done? Adjustment to the education system. Are you serious? I saw this in our own country, where we came from. Folks couldn't handle the schooling, so change the curriculum. Change the way you teach. Not investing in the child, but lower the standard. And so you produce sausages. I suppose I'll be... If they're failing in school, the grading system must be adjusted, lest their failure does them psychological harm. Oh my gosh, are we going to see psychological harm after the election? Oh God, I don't know either side, but I don't know what. We've had this before where we had people have a meltdown when they never had their guy come in or their person come in. So we are in for a rough, not the Christians. The Christians, we rejoice in the Lord always. Criminals must be given rights, even though they have shown no respect for the rights of those they have robbed, murdered, maimed. They've got a right. You see, us dinosaurs can't understand that. Rights? You forfeited all your rights when you did what you did. And now you've got to pay the price. Pay the price, get back into society, and everything's fine. But no, they got rights. And our biggest challenge in this country is all the lawyers. Recently, a police chief summed up our generation by calling it a lost generation. A generation which thumbs its nose at everything once held sacred. He described it as a generation addicted to drugs, given to self-indulgence, contemptuous of the law, and totally without regard for social values. In other words, he described the kind of end-time generation mentioned by Paul. Lovers of themselves. End times, almost 2,000 years. Paul also mentioned there's going to be covetousness. Paul says that the people shall be covetous, lovers of money. There's never been so many millionaires as we've got now. There's never been so many top-notch people making a lot of money as we have now. We've never had so many mega churches as we have now. The craving for the good life has lured millions of Americans hopelessly into what? Debt. The credit cards are maxed out. They pay the minimum with a 22%, I don't even know, we got the bankers here, 22%, 25%, 28% interest, somewhere around there. If we add home mortgages to what Americans otherwise owe, their consumer debt reaches an astronomical amount of trillions of dollars. Do we see things improving or going down the tubes? Now, is it possible to have a reprise? Is it possible to have maybe 4 years of good? Yeah, it's possible. But the system continues. There's got to be a point that we do away with the middle class. We've got to have the rich and the poor. As a nation, we are a people addicted to living beyond our means. Why? Why? To gratify our wants. Not all, but majority. Paul says in the same chapter and verse, boastful, proud, abusive. Paul says that in the last days, people will be boastful, proud, and abusive. Nowhere in our society is that better illustrated in the popular music of this age. The music is influencing the people's mind. And once the mind is influenced against society, and once the mind is influenced against morality, once the, oh, look what's happened to what this guy, did he something? I mean, just look at what's happening. Epstein, oh my, give me a break. Those guys are. So once the mind is influenced against morality, once the mind is influenced against the cops, once the mind is influenced against that which is holy and good, what happens? It plays out because the mind changes your character. And we see that so often today. One generation gives birth to hymns, another to marital and patriotic songs, another to romantic melodies. Our generation has given birth to rock, hard rock, punk, acid rock, and who knows what else. No wonder it's bombed out in your via. And once you're bombed here, your actions are bombed. We have no more responsibilities. Are you depressed yet? Hang on, it's getting worse. Lovers of ourselves. Now, guys, this is all pertaining to the last days. 2,000 years already. What have I noticed? What have you noticed? It seems to be intensifying all the time. It seems to be getting worse. Of course it's got to get worse. So as a child of God, be aware of these things, but maintain the joy of the Lord. Boastful, proud, abusive. Oh, the next one found in that same chapter and verse. Disobedient to parents and unthankful. Disobedient to parents. You think that's a problem today? A major problem. But then we have a major problem within the marriages. That many are single parents. God never intended that. Paul says that in the end times, people will be disobedient to parents, unthankful. Paul foresaw an ominous attack upon the family unit. Is the family unit being attacked today? For good or bad? If you married, you're the minority. If you're a Christian married, you're a zobo, whatever that is. We find that all of a sudden, parent rights are disappearing. We find that somehow the government and the schools have more power over your child than what you have. Is that God? No, no. It's the last days. Because it's prophesied, predicted, children will become disobedient to parents, unthankful. And the roots of family problems are many and varied. Soaring divorce rates, which has totally undermined the stability of the home and the authority of parents. More than half the marriages in this country now end in divorce. And today millions of people don't even bother by getting married at all. Unholy. Paul next turned his attention to another ingredient in the recipe of ruin for the last days. He said, people will be unholy, wicked. Don't care about God and traditional values. I'm an American. Since Heather and I have been here now 24 years, we have seen our values within our country start dissipating. It's getting less and less and less. The culture is changing. The value for monuments are no longer there. Oh, more than that. Just think of it. As a child of God, God first. Family second. Country third. Would I necessarily give everything for the country? It depends on the situation. But what really gripes me in particular is the burning of the flag. It's disgusting. It's terrible. It shows you the heart. It shows you the intent. So you may ask, did we come here for a political speech this morning? No, I haven't started on that yet. I'm sharing last days that you and I can see all around us. Old-fashioned ideas of morality are ridiculed. Married for 50 years, you must be crazy. Just trade in and get another one. Without natural affection, all this is prophesied. You and I am living it. We're seeing it. We're seeing it within the families. You are seeing it in your families. Some of you. People without natural affection. How did God design the human being? He designed the human being as male and female. He didn't intend for you to go have a reverse surgery. I'm not happy with what I look like. I want extras. If you've got extras, I don't want extras. I want less. Let's get off way off course here. Way off course. He wrote that people would be without natural affection. People would be callous and without either a heart or principles. Bestiality has increased. The Bible says that we've been given over to a depraved mind. That's where we are. That's where society is, a depraved mind. And then, if you hold on to the biblical principles and you say, no, you out of date. You outdated, my mate. We're living in a modern era. So does the modern era determine the value of the human being, or does God determine that? So either if we don't believe in God, we do as we please. But if we believe there's a God, we've got to understand what these last days are all about. Without natural affections. And then the Bible says, the epidemic of heartlessness has reached into many of our city streets, where gangs of thugs hold almost undisputed sway. Many of them are organized. That's not for financial gain, but to indulge in sadistic taste and crimes of senseless violence. In other words, we are living in savage times. But guess what? I'm a Christian. Can I make a difference? Yeah. Yeah, you're the light. I'm the light. Look at the savage times we're living in. Just quick highlights. You thought you're depressed? Wait. Mother drowns her two children. Man murders family and friends. Disgruntled employee shoots and kills his boss. Baby thrown from third story. Doctor assists in another suicide. Guess what? End times. End times. Because as the value of morality goes down, so does the things attached to it. Because now people, go back to my first, people do not have a conscience anymore. And when there is no conscience that checks you, what is there? Oh, Nike's got it right. Just do it. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Along with all of this, Paul says people will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now listen to this, guys. We're living in changing times. I'm fully aware of that. I've experienced what I'm saying now. Heather and I experienced in South Africa. It's totally different. We see it in our own country now. There was a time in our country, the United States of America, when Sunday was the Lord's Day. Oh, really? How far was that? I knew that. Do you know I got one heck of a spanking? The only spanking from my father. And he spanked me on a Sunday. How dare he do that? He didn't respect the Lord's Day. You know why he spanked me? I was a young boy. We were very much on the Lord. Everything was closed on the Lord's Day. It's almost like this Sabbath in Israel, you know? Everything closes on a Friday night. Saturday is a holy day. And then it opens up. Sunday was the Lord's Day. No shops. Nothing was open. The family would have a great... We go to church. Come home. Eat. Meditate on the word. And then catch 40 winks. Have a snooze. That was the Lord's Day. Then after you wake up, you start getting ready and you start going to a Sunday night service. But that Lord's Day was so different than other Lord's Days. It was summer and the sun was shining outside. And my friends wanted to go to the swimming pool. And before I went to church, I put my bathing suit outside the window outside. And we came back from church, and we ate and meditated scriptures, and mom and dad went to sleep. And I knew he was sleeping deep because I could hear it. He was sleeping deep. So, of course, ideal opportunity to slip out. And we were a block away from the swimming pool. Met up with my friends, went to the swimming pool, and we were lying tanning. beautiful sunny Lord's Day. Thank you, day. Thank you, Lord, for this day. It's beautiful. But I was lying like this on my stomach watching the entrance. And my father was a reasonably big man. But he was bald. He'd never had the pleasure of having hair like me. I got my mother's hair. And I was looking at the entrance. I recognized that guy. I'm recognizing this guy. For some unknown reason, amongst the hundreds of people that were there, he knew where his son was. And he took his son and embarrassed that boy. I should have sued the heck out of him because he violated my rights by pulling my ear. And he pulled it. And he pulled it, and he's walking, and I'm walking until we got home. And that's the first time in my life I got the spanking of my life because I violated the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Wow. Did I turn out to be a bad guy? No, I'm the most lovable person you could get now, man. There was a time that the Lord's Day publicly was set aside for worship. Stores were closed in our country. Public transportation operated on a reduced schedule. But what's the Lord's Day like today? There is no Lord's Day. Now our folks work. Folks go enjoy everything out there. There's football, there's whatever, soccer, there's whatever. Got to go to games. But it's the Lord's Day. Now, was that wrong? I'm just showing you the value system of then and now. However, this generation has definitely become a generation of pleasure seekers. No two ways about it. More than the things of God. And now we'll close. In the same chapter 2 verse 5. The Bible says, Paul says to Timothy, and in the last days, now almost 2,000 years, there's going to be a form of godliness. Notice the wording. A form of godliness. Not godliness. A form of, what is a form of godliness? Help me out. What do you think it is? What's a form of godliness? Todd, it looks like it. They sing the same songs. They're sitting in the same church. They have a form of godliness. They pray in the name of Jesus. So the Bible says in the last days people will be marked as a form, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What is the power? The surrender to the godliness. In other words, say it, speak it, look like it, act like it, but in reality, it's not it. What does it mean? Saying the right things. Singing the same songs on a Sunday. But during the week, it's a different story. A form of godliness. Now the Bible does say, turn away from something like that. In Titus 1:6, I think we're going to get to it. Have we got Titus 1:6? You've got to try and find it. Look at that, Nicole. Titus 1:16, sorry. They say they know God. Notice this now. They say they know God. That's a form of godliness, all right? But their what? Their actions speak louder than their words. I'm not going to read the rest because that's the Message translation. You can read it for yourself. This is the way the Message translation sees it, okay? So please don't come. Don't leave today and Pastor called me a creep. I never called you anything. I'm reading the Message translation. They real creeps. Disobedient, good for nothing. In other words, the sum total of this. They're fake news. It's fake news. So what must we do? I don't want to have a form of godliness because I don't want to be a creep. I want the real thing. And if the real thing costs me my commitment, yeah. Do I fail? Do I falter? Yeah, and I ask God for forgiveness and He forgives me. But what you see is what you get. I don't have to fake anything. But yeah, we have people that put on a show, but it's not real them. So let's look at the positive side. My time's up. Is there a positive side to this depression? I know some of you say, oh, gosh, I should have brought my Advil with me this morning. I've got a headache already. No. We're looking at the signs in the sky. We're looking at the end times that are almost 2,000 years. And we're seeing the intensity of what is prescribed in the Word of God. And it's not looking good. But what can we do about it? How do I live in this evil world in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 and 15? Now we get to that one. Those who try to live a godly life, not a form of godliness, not a form of godliness. Those who try to live a godly life, they believe in Christ Jesus, will be what? You ready for it? You ready for that? Are you prepared to make a stand? You know, people are quick to make a political stand, but not a Christian stand. Make a Christian stand. They will be persecuted. Now, look what he throws in over here. But evil people that are part of the system, and he includes some folks. Who does he include? So are all preachers good or are they phony preachers? Yeah, there's phony preachers. But evil people and phony preachers will go from what? There we get it, guys. From bad to worse. You see the intensity? As time goes by, so they get worse. And what do? These phony preachers, they mislead people and are themselves misled. However, I like that word, however, continue in what you have learned and found to be true. Is Jesus truth? Yeah. Is the Bible true? Yeah. So continue with Jesus. Continue what you found to be true. Because you know who your teachers were. Referring to Timothy, you know who your teachers were. From infancy, Timothy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now notice the importance. Raising a child in the Word of God. Important, you guys, parents, young parents, important. From infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. They have the power. What has the power? The Scriptures. To do what? Give you wisdom. So you don't have to be deceived. Give you knowledge. They have the power to give you wisdom so that you can be saved through faith in Christ Jesus. So what's the key figure here? Jesus Christ. Everything about the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus Christ and our salvation. Our salvation. So to end off positively and do away with your headache, look at the next sign. Let's read it together. Don't look for a sign. Look for the coming of Jesus Christ. Look for the coming of Jesus Christ. If you are a born-again Christian and you die now, you're going to see Him face to face. If you and I continue to live, we will see Him face to face. The bottom line is, I'm looking for Jesus Christ. The signs can appear, the signs can do whatever they want to, but I also must be aware of what we can expect, seeing that we are living in the last days, and which we are living in the last days. But we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who gives us the strength. You want to bring it on? You can bring it on. You can take this body, but guess what? You take this body, there's another one waiting for me. And you ain't seen nothing yet because he's designed it. So we are heading forward to a fantastic future in Jesus Christ. Can we pray together?